American Recovery and Reinvestment Act money comes with strings attached. Recipients of stimulus funds have to report exactly how they used the money, and they have to follow the rules on federal grants and contracting. As Federal News Radio has been reporting to you, the level of noncompliance has been pretty low, but not zero. Doug Hassebrook is the Assistant Director of Investigations for the RAC Board. At the ELC conference in Williamsburg, he tells our own Tom Temin just how the board keeps tabs on the money, and he describes the tools that they use to identify rogue recipients.
We actually take a look at all the people that are receiving your tax dollars, and that extends to over $275 billion worth of recovery spending. And we take a look at all the contract and grant recipients along there to determine the risk that is posed by those folks receiving your dollars. So the non-compliers, as you've seen in the press and you've seen the chairman put out, is a relatively low number. There are still some of those that need to be brought, you know, into line and what they should be doing as far as compliance. But there's a far greater number of folks out there that we keep an eye on to prevent and reduce fraud across all that spending.
So how many open investigations do you have right now? Is it hundreds, thousands, scores?
I'll tell you, percentage-wise, we've received somewhere in the near of 4,000 or some complaints. I represent the board, which oversees the work of 29 other inspectors general and coordinates and collaborates with that community. So when I say that number, that's across all. And you're talking about cases that number in the hundreds. It's actually been very low to date, which is a trend that I hope continues on through the end of this spending.
And among the cases of noncompliance, are there patterns that emerge? Do they seem to fit a certain type of profile, for example?
The most common complaint, I can phrase it like that effectively, is that folks are misappropriating dollars. In other words, people will complain to us and say, listen, I know this money came into my state that was supposed to be used for this particular program, and I know that it's gone down other avenues. That would be an area of sort of misappropriation. Some of the other things that we see in the area of trends are people that are effectively lying to get themselves into programs that they're not entitled to. In other words, there are small business and set-aside type contracts that are out there for persons that they're designed to help those that need help the most. And these folks are lying to get in the programs, and then they're getting those contracts, and it's those type of patterns that we look for to determine what risk and then get out there and stop that money from continuing on.
So it's the same kinds of waste, fraud, and abuse we see in every federal program, especially with set-asides. That seems to be the pattern there.
Absolutely. So in most every instance of recovery spending, yes, the patterns are the same because the vehicles that we spent with which we spent the money are the same. In other words, there wasn't a whole new crop of recovery programs per se. They continued on and then in some cases bolstered up the spending in those programs. Medicaid, Pell Grants, entitlement programs, VA benefits, all of those programs just got infused with more money.
You know, I'm curious about your background.
I'm actually a federal criminal investigator, and I started with the Air Force with the Office of Special Investigations, and then I moved over into the Inspector General community, and I was working for Earl Devaney, the chairman, and when he got selected by the president, he walked down the hall and said, guess where you're going?
And we are speaking with Doug Hassebrock. He's Assistant Director of Investigations at the Recovery Board, and you mentioned some analysis and tools. Tell us about how you go about finding where you suspect there might be wrongdoing.
Sure. We have a three-tier process. First of all, we screen using a weighted business model. You alluded to a background in financial management. My traditional education is in that area. One of the areas that you look in financial risk is to weigh the amount of risk a person or an entity, in this case, poses to you by simply getting the money. For example, let's look at your history of financial audits, your bankruptcies, your past criminal behavior, other things, tax liens, like things that might make you risky just by very nature of getting the money itself, effectively getting the funding. Once we do that screening, we look for folks that sort of bubble to the top as far as being more risky than others. I don't have access to transactional data at the board. What I have access to are many different data sets that can give me an idea and quantify the amount of risk you might pose. Further, then we take a deep analytic look. Once I establish certain folks that we're going to take a look at and certain companies, we start to pull apart the relationships that they have with one another to identify and look for non-obvious linkages between certain entities. For example, you might be a person that's debarred from getting federal funds, but you get a front company and you get money through that pass-through. And that's the things we're looking for. And then lastly, we look at the entire country in the area of risk. In other words, we'd use geospatial analysis, mapping effectively, to determine where are we at risk first, primarily, where do we have risky areas in the past, and then where are our recovery monies going now, and we correlate that with where we're getting the most hotline calls from. And so when you do that, you get an absolute pattern of where we're most at risk. And then we make sure we push that information and get it out into the hands of the Inspector General and the Department of Justice so they understand where we might see the most problems next.
It sounds like you're building a methodology that any federal agency could use that puts out grants or funding in any form.
I think so. There's some absolute applicability in the future. One of the great things, maybe it was an unintended consequence of the board, is that we were able to put together this program, and we did a very quick IT implementation, which is something to be proud of. And it's a place for other agencies to come and see if it works for them. There are some that are already, you know, implementing the ideas that we have, or they're using it as an idea. We don't proclaim to have the solution to everyone's problems, but you can see an actual IT solution being used real time and see if it works for your agency. And I think that's going to be one of the great benefits.
So it sounds like there's an application coming out of this, possibly.
I hope so. I hope that it's going to be, again, something that's used by other agencies to help reduce their fraud and waste and prevent it from happening in the future.
And I guess if it comes from the recovery board, you could call it the rat package.
I guess so.
And I wanted to also ask you, too, one last question here. That red button on the website, has that button produced results?
You're referring to the report fraud, waste, and abuse button. It's on every web-facing. The difference, I think, is that when you hit that, and then you go through to the submit your complaint section. It's the very next web facing. The data that we collect there goes right into a centralized database where we have 26 other agencies that also put their information. So as logical as that seems, that's another thing that wasn't necessarily happening a lot in the past. And now we have agencies that are combining their data up front so that I know if I get a complaint against Company A, that if Company A has been involved in other malfeasance somewhere else, I'll know, because the other agencies will say, hey, we've already got a company. So I save time, I save effort, I save upfront coordination, and we get that, again, into the hands of all parties that are involved.